Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to officially call this meeting to order. This is November the 6th. Welcome. Thank everyone for being here. And I would like to start out by asking Mayor A.J. Connors to please come forward and give us an invocation and lead us in the pledge. Everybody, please rise.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you tonight to just thank you for the wonderful blessings of each and every day that you have blessed us with health, strength, and the ability to travel from one place to another. And as you cover us and protect us, we're just so grateful to say thank you again. Tonight, Lord, we thank you for the spirit of wisdom and knowledge that you will share with each commissioner and with the county manager as they go forth to deal with the business affairs of this county. We thank you for making Duplin County an intriguing place to want to live and industry to want to come. We thank you for the progress that you have given unto us. And we thank you for the increase that will be coming later. These things we ask tonight, Lord, in your precious Son's name. Let all of God's children say amen.
Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, sir. At this time, any commissioners have anything to add to tonight's agenda?
I do not.
Mr. Miller?
No, sir.
Clerk?
No, sir.
All right. I would entertain a motion to accept the agenda as printed.
So moved. Second.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. All right, carried. All right, at this time I would ask for a motion to approve the minutes from the October 16th meeting.
Second.
Got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. All right. Hopefully everybody's taking time to look through the consent agenda. If everybody's satisfied, I'd entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. I got a motion and a second to approve the consent agenda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Have anybody signed up for public comment?
No, sir, no one signed up.
All right, so we'll move right on to item number two, Mr. Scotty.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening.
It's days like this where I really, really love my job. I love bringing good news. And tonight we're here, we're home. We're conducting our public hearing, is that correct? Is that what we're about to move into? Okay, I'm here tonight, pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 1.
Let Mr. Edwards open the public
hearing. Thank you, sir.
Okay, I didn't see that on my list, I'm sorry. All right, we got a public hearing. I'm gonna open the floor up for the public hearing and I'll turn the floor over to Scotty to explain. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Public hearing is now in session.
Okay. Yes, sir. Pursuant to North Carolina General Statute 158-7.1, we are required to have a public hearing. And tonight we're talking about an incentive for a project that we term Project Refresh. And I'll be speaking tonight about the nature of that incentive and what we're looking at. I also have our airport director, Josh Rayner, is here with me this evening to maybe answer any technical questions from the airport side. I do come tonight to the public, and I will come back to the commissioners with the blessings of the EDC board, as well as the airport board. And we have a long-term tenant at the airport who seeking renovations up to $250,000 for an airport hangar belonging to, now this is the key part, belonging to the county. And they have committed to bringing in a new plane that essentially is about the equivalent of 86 homes as it compares to a tax value. That'll be based in Duplin County at the airport. They have committed to two skilled level jobs, new jobs that would be a pilot and a mechanic, and also to retaining two semi-skilled jobs within the company. And what the nature of the incentive is that with these commitments in hand, that, and that's for a time period of up to 5 years. Now, obviously, if the plane is sold, it would not stay in Duplin County. But if this plane, as long as it's retained ownership of the company, or a new plane is purchased, we have a guarantee that that plane will be based at the airport for at least a 5 year period. In return for that, they're only asking that we reimburse them the up to $250,000 for the improvements to our hangar. That being the incentive of that is that on top of taking on those improvements to the county hangar again, I can't emphasize that enough, they've also committed to these four, two jobs committed, new jobs, and two jobs retained. So that would be upon them paying the taxes on the new plane. Year one would be a reimbursement of $83,334. Upon paying their taxes in year two, it would be $83,334 again. And then in the final year, to reimburse for the cost of the upgrades to the hangar, a final reimbursement of $83,332. That is the nature of the incentive. From a practical and personal perspective of my own, again, I can't reiterate enough how strongly our board support it, and we hope that you and the public will also support this endeavor to keep that nice plane in Duplin County and to take on these improvements to that hangar. I will say that hangar was constructed in 1994, and the tenant has been in that hangar about since its inception for about a 30-year period, so they've been with the county a long time. At this point, it's I can name the company. It's Murphy Family Ventures, LLC. With that, I'll pause and answer any questions.
Okay, this is a public hearing, so feel free to ask any questions you might have. Is anybody back there in the back that didn't hear him? Y'all can step up, and we'll repeat it. Any further questions? Josh, okay.
I only have one concern. The new employment, will there be a residency requirement for Duplin County, or they can live in a place?
There is no residency requirement in the agreement.
Josh, any comments you want to make about the hangar?
The hangar does need some upkeep, and if they want to put their money up front and we can reimburse them, I think it'll work out good for the county. So we'll get a nice looking hangar out of it and keep a tenant for a long time to come. So.
Any more comments from the public? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing and go back into open session. Any comments or questions from the commissioners? Okay, if there's no comments or questions from the commissioners, I would entertain a motion to approve this agreement between Murphy Family Ventures and Duplin County and authorize me to sign the agreement.
So moved. Second.
I got a motion and a second. Now is there any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Thank you. Good job.
Thank you.
Okay, that brings us to item number three. Mr. Chris Hatcher, how about that?
That works for me. That's what I go by.
Oh, we need to open this for public hearing too? Mm-hmm. All right. Okay, Mr. Hatcher's bringing us some information for the public to be able to speak to. So I'm gonna open the floor for a public hearing. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. We're now into public hearing. So Mr. Chris, explain the information.
Good evening. I bring before you, according to General Statute 160D, we are required to hold a public hearing for the adoption of a Board of Adjustment. The Board of Adjustment's ordinance was in the Commissioner's packet, and it's fairly straightforward. It outlines the requirements as followed by 160D and what are required for the county to move forward with the Board of Adjustment. The Article 1 membership is one that was brought to staff's attention today because after this, we are also requesting to appoint members to the plan to the Board of Adjustment. Staff wrote that we have five board members and two alternate members, and also that the citizens shall be residents of Duplin County and that the others should hold no public office under county government. We would like to point out that two of the people that were recommended for the appointment, one is not a county resident, and the other holds one office as well. These are not state requirements. We can change that if desired by the board. Currently, we have six potential members who can meet those requirements. But to have a full board, we still have the ability to bring on those people if the board desires. I can go more in depth to the rest of the ordinance if anyone has any other questions. There's no compensation for the board members. All the board members and alternate members are required to come to every meeting, so everyone will be here. The duties of the board are listed as shown. One item was the submission and fees. Our staff is suggesting a fee of $350. For the variance requests and also the appeal request. There's a notice of hearing that has to be done. We will be mailing letters to all adjacent property owners, and we will also be posting a sign at the property. The $350 per applicant will help pay for all of the signage that has to be purchased and staff time. In the application for the Board of Adjustment, it's been requested that the applicant submit letter or the envelopes with stamps, and I will be able to help them with who they need to mail it to. I'll help them with that. Just as long as they get the envelopes, get the stamps, I can take it from there. We'll draft a letter, and those letters get mailed out to the adjacent property owners. After speaking with the COG about this, the ECC, which is the Eastern Carolina Council, we do not have to make public notice in the newspaper for it. That'll save money because publishing in the newspaper does get expensive, and that's just one less date that we have to abide by. So we can still move forward with getting these people if they do want to go forward with the various requests with the fee that we have. I'm here to answer any questions.
Okay, this is a public hearing. Feel free to speak up. One more chance. Any questions from the public? Hearing none, I'm going to close the public hearing. We'll go back into open session. Any commissioners have any questions or comments? Okay.
Mr. Hatcher, when it states in there about members of the Board of Adjustment shall serve without compensation and may be removed by the county commissioners at any time for any reason, is that appealable?
Not in our ordinance. It would be, this I will say that our ordinance that has been drafted is pretty standard statewide for everyone that has a board of adjustment. Either if they are within the municipality, the city, or town commissioners with an appointed member. The county commissioners could appoint those members and remove them. These members would take an oath, so they understand that they can be removed at any time. And it's up to your discretion when you would like to remove them.
Gotcha.
Okay, one other thing is the statement that they all have to be present. So does that mean that if they're not all here, the meeting is canceled? What's the deal on that?
No, sir. So what we have to have is a quorum. For the variance request, we have to have a 4/5 majority. So if we have at least 4 members present, we can move forward with variance requests. We would prefer 5. The reason for that is because sometimes it's hard to get all 4 votes at one time. So if you have the 5th member who's there, that may or may not assist the citizen in the variance request. In the appeal request, we actually can move forward. It's a majority, so 3/5 could approve or deny an appeal. But the reason that we need the alternates there, in case a member was to have to recuse themselves. So in the ordinance for Article 3 duties, we have board members and staff are expected to abide by conflicts of interest. So essentially, if someone's going for a variance request, and a board member was to gain financial reasons for getting this request, they have to recuse themselves because that's a conflict of interest for that variance request, allowing the other board member to come in and take part of the meeting. Now, that doesn't mean they have to step out for the whole meeting. They only have to step out for that particular item. And when I say step out, I just mean step down. They could not make a vote on it. We have right about 8 potential people who could be appointed to the board. 2 of them, according to the ordinance as it's written, do not meet the residency. One does not meet residency. The other one does not. Is actually appointed to another public office. That can change. The ordinance can be amended right now to allow those potential members to join the board. If the commissioners would desire that.
Any further questions?
And we could also update this to say 3 alternates instead of 2 alternates, because we, like I said, we do have 8 people, and they can all 8 be on the board. There's no statutory requirement on how many you have the maximum number of people. We have to at least, good practice is at least 5 good board members to get a 4/5 majority for the variance request.
But if you went with the 6 that's qualified, you'll still be all right.
We will be okay. And we could amend this and have 1 alternate member, or we could ask the board to find 1 more person and they could be appointed at a later time.
What the individual that holds elected office, what office do they hold?
DSS. They're under the county government.
Commissioners, it's actually an appointed office. As a DSS board member.
Thank you. It's not an elected office.
That's correct.
Okay.
Is that? I mean, I don't have a problem if serving on a multiple boards like that. I mean, if we change it to an elected position, I don't know what the feeling of the board is.
So, commissioners, I think you have a couple decisions to make. Number one, are you going to allow residents outside of the county to participate on the Board of Adjustments? Number two, I think your second decision needs to be whether or not to amend the ordinance and take away the serving as an elected or appointed official on another board. So I think those are the two main decisions you have to make. And after considering those and making your decision, we can give you an update on what your next decision may be, depending on how you decide on those two items.
I'll add again, you know, if we were to amend the ordinance to allow that and the commissioners felt that those members were not fit to serve the board, they could be removed. And then we could find other alternate members or other members in general.
But as it stands right now, we have the 5 plus 3.
Currently, we have 8 people, but 2 of those, by this ordinance, we cannot appoint.
Okay, so we have 6.
Correct.
So we could start doing what we need to do with those 6.
We can.
And if something needs to be tweaked after the fact, we could look at it.
We can.
Okay.
And then that way we wouldn't have to amend the ordinance.
Right.
That's correct.
No amending, we would just add another person. That's correct. And that could be done at the next meeting. We don't have to have a public hearing to appoint members.
All right. I entertain a motion to adopt the ordinance and give me the authority to sign.
Second.
I got a motion and a second. Further discussion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye. Whoops.
This is the amendment that you're talking about, Mr. Attorney. Is there anything in here that says that they can't serve right now?
As it's drafted, it does.
As it's drafted.
Right. And so you, as these gentlemen have pointed out, you either need to make this motion subject to an amendment or 2 amendments, or move forward with it as it is drafted and appoint 6 of the 8 with 2 options going forward. Either one, bring back another name if he needs a separate name, or come back later and amend the ordinance. Now, I will tell you, if you come back later and amend the ordinance, then you are going to have another public hearing. So I would say if you're inclined to amend the ordinance, just in the sense of efficiency, I'd encourage you to go ahead and do that tonight so he doesn't have to have a second public hearing on it.
Right. Because we do have several people in the county that are appointed to more than one board. And so, you know, you shouldn't take away somebody's ability to serve on a board just because they serve on another board. And if somebody's outside of the county, they more than likely will be unbiased as far as hearing a situation in reference to anything that comes up.
And so to your point, Mr. Dow, there are other boards that have both somebody from outside the county and somebody wearing 2 hats. So it is allowed under other ordinances. As this ordinance is drafted, which Mr. Hatcher pointed out, is borrowed from, I think, from City of Wilmington, and is fairly standard in the state and in the industry. It includes that language precluding it, but that doesn't mean that y'all can't change one or both of those limitations when you adopt it tonight.
Right. State statute doesn't require that the person live within the county, nor does it require that they could be appointed to multiple boards.
But our ordinance, but as it's written, does.
This is not what it does at this time. But
the way it's written, the way it's written does, and you know, we've got a motion and a second on the floor. So, further discussion?
Mr. Chairman, I just want to point out one more thing. The way the ordinance is written, you actually have 7 members that are qualified, in my opinion. Would you not agree? You actually have 7 members that are qualified to serve. The only member that's not qualified to serve as written is the one member that lives outside of the county.
Further discussion.
Does anybody have any objection to the us changing that this evening, or do you want it to stay? I mean, this is consensus.
I object. I do. I don't want to change it. I don't think an out-of-county citizen should have a right to approve variances in county.
That did.
I agree. Say,
all right, well, this 2. What about you, Mr. Gunn?
I'm fine with it.
I guess if we're going to change it.
If we don't do it tonight, we're going to have to have a public hearing.
If ever going to be based on what you guys just said, I mean, I guess it's now and never, and if it's never, it's never.
Well, I mean, from my standpoint, we have, this is our first time out of the gate asking for people to serve, and we've had very good results inside the county. I don't see any reason to why we would change the ordinance to go outside the county. If we get to the point that we can't fulfill, we can always come back with another public hearing and change the ordinance. But, you know, there is a lot of question, or going to be a lot of questions about what's going on with this board anyway, because of some of our lack of following this procedure previously. And I just don't think we want to mix bringing somebody from outside, a non-resident, into the mix at this given time. Or that's the way I feel, and it sounded like that's the way Commissioner Edwards felt.
All right. Well, I think if that's the case, then we need to look at all the other boards that we have people from out of the county and certain boards that represent different places. I mean, this right here is just one board, and we've got over 30 boards in this county.
Chairman, I called a question.
Okay.
Before he's
already called a question. The motion that was on the floor is that we adopt the ordinance that we have in place and authorize the chairman to sign it. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? It carried. Thank you. That moves us to item number 4. Mr. Hatcher.
Thank you again, Mr. Chairman. At this time, with the passing of the ordinance, we would like to move forward with appointing members to the Board of Adjustment. It is my understanding that we do have 7 members
That's
who
great.
Can be appointed to the board. Staff's motion presents that Monty Thorne, Herbert Rayner, Monty Thorne, Morris Murphy, Cole Phillips for a 3-year term. Joey Carter and Nick Bell for a 2-year term. Herbert Rayner and Angela Rayner Angela Maynor as the alternates, Herbert being a 3-year appointment and Ms. Maynor as a 2-year appointment.
Motion to approve.
The motion as drafted is different than what I read.
Okay.
Because we had to change up because of the person who lives outside the county.
Okay. All right. I still have a motion to approve as he read.
Yes.
Second?
Second.
I have a second. Any further discussion?
I have one notation as far as the spelling, if that needs to be corrected.
I will.
As far as Maynor. That's M-A-I-N-O-R. Angela Maynor.
Any further discussion?
Will you go back over that list? Because what you're reading is different than what we've got.
Yeah.
You got one submission.
We had to change it up. At the beginning, the recommended motion was Joy Wynn. She actually lives outside of the county.
So she's out.
Yeah. So we have Monty Thorne, Morris Murphy, Cole Phillips appointed as a 3-year term for the board members, Joy Carter and Nick Bell appointed to 2-year terms for the board. For the alternate members, we have Herbert Rayner as a 3-year appointment.
All right, hold up right there. I am not willing for him to be an alternate because he is my only guy.
Yes, sir.
On there.
We can change that.
Okay. Because what I'm seeing on ours is Monty Thorne and Heber for 3-year terms, and our alternates are going to be Nick Bell and Morris Murphy. Our list is.
They all have the same authority, according to the...
Right, they all have the same authority.
They do.
They're all voting members.
But I do not want my one guy to be an alternate.
Understood. if we would like to make a change to that, we'd have Monty Thorne, Herbert Rayner. As it's listed, we'll read it off. Monty Thorne, Herbert Rayner, and then add Cole Phillips for a 3-year term. We'll then put Joey Carter and Nick Bell for the 2-year terms. That leaves us with Morris Murphy as a 3-year alternate, and then Miss Angela as a 2-year alternate.
Everybody clear?
My motion still stands.
Okay, that's what I just wanted to clarify, make sure everybody was clear before I ask. Okay, so I have a motion on the floor as it was last listed to accept those people at those years and those positions.
Second.
I got a second. Now further discussion. Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Uh-huh.
All opposed, same sign. Carried. Thank you, Mr. Hatcher.
Thank you, sir.
This works well. I know you've been through a lot to try to get here.
Well, it's all just beginning.
All right, that brings us to item number 5. Ms. Kennedy.
Good evening.
Good evening.
I'm here to ask for approval to increase the cost of naming a private lane due to the sign supplies increase. I'm asking to raise it 25 from 150 for the signs and the public hearing to 175. And I think on our old the ordinance it had them reversed, like the public hearing was 100 and the sign blades were 50, and it was the opposite.
See, we're currently at 150 and you want to carry it to 175.
Yes, sir.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Okay, so I've got a motion and a second to move it to 175.
Right.
Any further discussion?
Yeah. Is that going to be enough?
Yes.
Based on your calculations?
Mm-hmm.
Any more discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, same sign. Carried.
Thank you.
All right, that brings us to item number 6. RHCPA PLLC.
Thank you, sir. My name is T.D. Hill. It's Thomas David Hill. I go by T.D. With RH and Associates. And I want to talk to you a little bit about your 2022 audit. And first, I want to cut to the chase a little bit, though, and talk about 2023. It is trending very well. I know we have a December 1st deadline, and we are trending well towards that date. Also realize that's in 3 weeks. And also want to say that part of that, or a large part of that, is Chelsea Lanier getting us things on time. We've gotten the final trial balance. We've gotten a CEPA. Actually, I was out looking at the Medicaid testing today. We're doing that this week. We'll be talking about this in my presentation, but we've had a finding last year. Also, it's a finding from 2021, but it appears that right now, our first day of testing, things are looking good over there. So, before I get started, any questions about 2023?
Thank you, Mr. Lanier.
You're welcome.
Did you pay?
We talk almost daily, getting things back and forth. We have a very good good working relationship. She's done a great job. And at one point,
that's good to hear.
Just a little further here, she was working on both the 2022 and the 2023 audit at the same time. So, also, Mr. Miller got a good relationship with him. I know he's just been here a couple of weeks, but we've been working well as well. Any questions or comments before I start? Okay. financial statements, or this for 2022, financial statements are complete. You got a unqualified or clean opinion. That's the best audit opinion in the business. So, financial statements been filed and approved by the LGC, the state, and we did the federal filing with the clearinghouse. Let's talk a little bit about roles and objectives. Auditor independence. We have to be independence in fact and appearance, and we're independent. Everything is fine on that. We do a plan. We look at internal controls, look at the processes here. We go over that with the finance team. We also perform a risk assessment. We look at higher risk things like cash, also assets, and revenue. Then we perform audit procedures, and then our opinion also, we have reasonable assurance, which means we don't test every transaction, but we do test a sample to give us a good opinion. Perform a single audit on Medicaid, Medicare, just due to the how large that is. Then also we did major program testing on low-income home energy assistance, coronavirus, and then the state programs, steam debris removal, and the public school building fund. We render an opinion on the financial statements on the whole and on the compliance testing that we did in the prior slide. We have required supplemental information. We have management decision, discussion, and analysis. And then we have various schedules with the pension liabilities. Then we have a lot of individual fund statements and schedules, and this is required by the LGC, and that's why your financial statements are almost 150 pages, or a lot. We had an audit finding in the medical related to Medicaid eligibility. It's related to recertifications. It's a repeat of finding, and we'll talk about that in detail here in just a minute. Then we had some adjusting journal entries, and these basically were around how the LGC likes things presented. We had to do that. For this year, new was this Gatsby 87 over leases, and that was a little bit of a presentation of how we go about presenting those. All your estimates appear reasonable. There were no disagreements with management, and no difficulties encountered with county management, and we had complete cooperation by Chelsea and her team. Significant deficiencies. Okay, there was two of them. One of them was over the Medicaid testing, and basically these were technical issues. These were over some documentation, and there were no question costs or anything, and it was just ineffective record keeping in case review. So we recommend a better review. And corrective action was that the supervisors basically are going to do, they've got a template and they've been reviewing. So that's been, my understanding, that's effective now as of October. Then we they're going to do a checklist, and that was implemented as well as in October. Then late submission. This was due to finance staffing issues, and we got several trial balances, and also we didn't get a CEPA until spring of this year for 2022. And I can go ahead and tell you that this is not an issue anymore, because we've got, like I say, we've got all the information that we need at this time, and Chelsea actually has been quite proactive, asking us, hey, is there anything else that you need? Actually, we were just having that conversation this morning. But we got everything that we need from the county at this point for 2023. Let's talk a little bit about results of the operations for 2022. Obviously, the blue here is the revenues, and the green is expenditures. So that's obviously trending well. Then the general fund balance. That's basically your equity, or what you're worth. You see that positive trend there? You guys are trending well, and that was good. That's obviously a direct correlation to the good business and finance decisions that you guys have made. You're a good steward for the county. The large part there, the brown, is the unallocated, non-restricted. So you've got a lot of, you can do a lot of different things because you don't have much tied down. Guess positive trend here. This is the assets. If you were to sell those off, the percentage of expenditures. Property taxes, that's your largest revenue. That's trending well. Other taxes and licenses, obviously that's trending well. Expenditure breakdown, this is from the general fund. Basically, your largest expenditures are public safety, human services, and education. Then proprietary funds. This is the airport, transportation, water, and waste. And we last year we had a profit. So major takeaways. Again, unqualified opinion for 2022, best one you can get. The health appears strong, financial health, no disagreements with management. We received complete cooperation from the current financial team. We are trending well for the 2023 audit. And we have a team on site this week performing Medicaid compliance testing. Any questions or concerns?
Sounds mighty good. Again, thank you, Mr. Lanier.
Will you go back two slides?
Yes, sir.
I've got a question sometime about that one.
Sure.
Yeah. That's my personal cell phone. And also, if you need to get in touch with me, you can talk to Chelsea.
Okay.
But if you have any concerns or comments or anything about the 2023 audit, please give me a copy.
Do they have a copy of this, correct?
They do.
Okay. Looks good.
Any questions?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yes.
All right. That brings us to item number six. Item number seven. Mr. Miller.
Commissioners, I have just a few general announcements and comments. I want to remind everybody that tomorrow is a municipal election. I believe it begins at 6:30 a.m. and goes to 7:30 p.m. Veterans Day is this coming Saturday on the 10th. It's observed on Friday, so the county government will be shut down on Friday. The library participated in a very successful trunk or treat event that had about 1,200 participants or 1,200 attendees at Duplin Commons. So congratulations to the library on their very successful event. The Christmas parade is November 25th. I wanted to poll the board and see if the board was interested in participating in the Kenansville Christmas parade.
When you say interested in participating, at what level?
Riding on a float.
If some of them want to, that'd be great.
I'm going to be out of town.
What day was that?
The 25th. It's the 25th.
Saturday after Thanksgiving. I think that's correct, isn't it?
That's correct.
I probably would be doing so.
Don't sound like there's a whole lot of interest.
Okay.
I think some of us will be participating in making it happen. You going to be doing something?
I'm going to be out of town.
Noted.
It don't sound like there's any reason to invest any money.
I understand. So I did want to let the board know that I had, at this point, have met with all the department heads, and I have been very impressed with both the professionalism and the knowledge base contained here in Duplin County. I think you have a very knowledgeable staff, and I want to commend the department heads for all of their efforts and their hiring efforts. It's incredibly difficult to hire folks right now, but I believe Duplin has a really good staff. Short a couple positions, but good people, knowledgeable people. I want to bring the board up to speed on the new animal shelter. We are still missing two electrical panels, one of which we're told will be delivered next week. The other, we still do not have an ETA on, but we are making weekly, if not semi-weekly, inquiries into when that will be, when that panel will be received. So we're staying on top of it, but I know it's been a long, drawn-out process, but supply chain shortages being what they are, we don't have an ETA on the other panel.
Can I ask you one question?
Yes, sir.
Until we get an occupancy permit on that, they're still carrying their insurance requirements on it, correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
So they're pushing for the electrical panel just as much as we are. So, and the only other update that I have is there's a groundbreaking ceremony for Veterans Services and Senior Services Center at Duplin Commons this Thursday at 10 a.m. We hope members of the board will be able to attend. And with that being said, I'm happy to answer any questions you may have about anything you want to ask.
Questions for Mr. Miller?
No, just happy to see both of you. Where is it? Ms. Shields? I think this is the first time we've seen you here in the meeting.
It's my first meeting.
It is.
Yes.
I'll point out that Carrie and I have been able to spend quite a bit of time together, and I think we're forming a really strong team.
All right, good. Any further comments? Hearing none, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
I got a motion and a second. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Officially adjourned.